Today is Sunday, March 10th, 2024. We are reading in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 100, beginning with the paragraph, assuming you're spiritually fit, up to including on page 101, in our belief. Who is reading today? Will Darcy please read for us that text?
Okay. I'm Darcy L. from North Carolina Recovered today. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap. And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed.
Thank you, Darcy. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Jeff S., who will share with us for the next 20 minutes before we open it up for comments and questions. Jeff, you have the floor.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Jeff S. I am a compulsive overeater and a food addict, and I will start off giving you my basic qualification statistics. I've been in OA since 1990. I've been going to OA meetings in South Jersey that whole time. I never left the program. 10 years of current abstinence, probably my best abstinence, and I'm maintaining 100-pound weight loss. Also a relapse survivor. And I say that somewhat kiddingly, because I always think of those TV shows. You know, the survivor TV shows where if you screw up, you get kicked off the island. I've never been kicked off the OA island. And I've never left the OA island, even when I've been in relapse. And so that's part of my message. Before I relate to the reading, I just give you a brief history of my compulsive eating, food addiction. And I don't know, can you mention foods in this room? Can't? Okay. Well, I can tell you this. I can remember as an eight-year-old eating more slices of pizza and more scoops of ice cream than all my other siblings combined. And I'm a binge eater, so I would eat those foods very quickly and get sick most of the time as a kid. And those foods obviously had a lot of sugar, processed flour. They were high fat content. And certainly the addiction was there at a young age. I used to get into fights with my mother about, she wanted me to eat. Can you believe this? She wanted me to eat a tuna fish sandwich. Tuna fish. Imagine that. A compulsive overeater having to eat tuna fish. What did I want? I wanted peanut butter and jelly. I ate that every day. She couldn't get over that. Of course, sugar frosted flakes were great, right? People remember that slogan. I was crazy for Cocoa Puffs, definitely. And I was a binge eater. And, you know, my theme in my sharing is usually that I need to use the program to cope with life, use the steps to cope with life. That's the bottom line for me. I have to use these steps. And in a way, we use tools to work the steps. to cope with my life. From a very early age, I used food to cope. My mother was very emotionally unstable. She had a nervous breakdown when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And I believe I probably started to eat then. I also had a very perfectionistic father who, although he was well-meaning, was very controlling because he had a wife that had a nervous breakdown. Give you my history of using food to cope with life before I got into program. And I really do believe that the theme is being spiritually fit and not getting the mental obsession to eat my binge foods requires work. I've had an aversion to work for a long time. I'm retired now, by the way. So it's hard to for me to remember my work life, but I sort of do occasionally. And that's really what I wasn't doing for a long, long time. I do sincerely believe that in order to maintain my spiritual fitness, I have to work the steps on a daily basis. And I'll get into that a little bit more later. And it also helps me to cope with life when I'm working the steps on a daily basis, particularly my relationships and my feelings. If I let things build up, I will eat. And I'm not eating broccoli. I'm telling you that right now. I do not get a bowl of broccoli and binge on a bowl of raw broccoli. I binge on stuff that changes my mood. Prior to program, I was also a compulsive thinker and compulsive over-worrier. I would analyze everything to death, to the nth degree. Why? Well, in a weird way, I think as a compulsive overthinker and analyzer, I thought I could accomplish the impossible, which was to prepare myself or prevent myself from every pitfall in life. And so I figured if I overthought things, if I thought enough about something, I could prevent it. And I wouldn't have work problems. I wouldn't have relationship problems. And that made my life unmanageable doing that. There are certain things I could not prevent. Like I can't prevent tornadoes. I'll tell you that right now. I cannot prevent a tornado. Kidding. Also, I'm a practicing codependent. People pleaser. I need people to like me. I always have. And there's certainly psychological reasons for that. That's kind of a burden too. And I was a compulsive overanalyzer. Now that served me well in my occupation, which was as a lawyer, but it didn't serve me well in everyday life to overanalyze everything to death. Instead of peace of mind, what I would generally have was a piece of cake when I did that. I used food to change my mood. And I never knew it, but I'm a poet and I didn't know it. So getting to OA, in 1990, my life was unmanageable with the food and with other things going on. And I lived a half a block away from a small strip mall. And unlike the reading, I could not go into a 7-Eleven without buying my binge food. I was not spiritually fit. I was not without that mental obsession to eat my binge foods. I had it. And there was nothing that I was doing to get out of it. And so I would get my binge foods, particularly large quantities of ice cream, bring it back to my apartment, which was, again, only half a block away, and binge all night to the point of being sick. Now, strangely enough, when I came into OA, I did come to understand the addiction, the physical part of the disease, the physical addiction. And for me, I understood that there were certain foods, which we all know, that have addictive ingredients, processed flour, processed sugar, high fat foods, crunchy foods, salty foods. If you give me one of those that has all those elements, I'm in food addicts heaven. Actually, hell. And that's what I would binge on. So when I came into program, I understood that very quickly, that I have to abstain from those foods. Didn't know how to do it, but I used willpower. The first couple of years in OA, way back when, through willpower, I abstained from eating those foods. And sure enough, the physical cravings went away. And I lost 75 pounds. And wouldn't say I was happy, joyous, and free, though. And during that time, at the start of that time, I basically absorbed all the OA and AA stuff. I went to OA step studies, big book groups, retreats, lots of meetings. And I bought into the slogan, and I'm really into the slogans. As I'll tell you later, I make a lot of recovery craft items and I put them on them. I was really into the slogan, meeting makers make it. Well, after a number of years, I've come to the conclusion that just being in meetings is not going to make it. That's an illusion. I sat in a lot of meetings and I was binging, or I was thinking about when I left the meeting where I was going to stop to get my binge foods. So I would say I would add a proviso to that slogan. Meeting makers make it if they work it. And that obviously means working the program, working the steps. Actually, my theme is this. Since working the steps every day on a daily basis, at this point, it's the maintenance steps, I have prevented that mental obsession from arising within me. And I've kept myself, as the reading says, spiritually fit. In the past, that mental obsession would be triggered if I wasn't dealing with things very well. And I would always lose my abstinence. My abstinence would go down the drain. It was like Roto-Rooter. Away goes trouble down the drain. No, it didn't go down the drain. The troubles were there. And so I do wholeheartedly believe and have faith in the program, in the steps. And I just never understood the basic tenet of this program, which is you have to work the steps daily. And I didn't know that. So I kept relapsing. So what was I not doing to maintain my spiritual abstinence and fitness? Well, let me tell you this. It was about 10 years ago, I attended a big book study that was presented by a guy from Canada. He came down to New Jersey and he did a big book weekend. And this was the second time I had sat through his big book weekend. And but this was the first time, however, that I really heard his message. My higher power really heard his message, which was, if you want to stop slipping and sliding and relapsing, it was a very simple solution. Do those steps. Now, I thought I was doing some of them. I was doing the ones I liked, I can tell you that. But I really wasn't doing them all the time. I wasn't. And what I'd like to do is talk about what I am doing. What kind of work do I do in the program that helps me to get that daily reprieve, that helps me to stay spiritually fit? And the issue of spirituality is interesting to me because I came in an agnostic. Like a grade A agnostic. I would argue with people who would come to my house to try and, proselytize something. They knock on your door and they want you to take their pamphlets and stuff. I would argue about God with these people. Like, did I have anything better to do? And at the point in time I came in the program, I had a higher power. His name was Jeff. My higher power was Jeff. Why? Because I thought I had these keen analytical problem-solving skills, but Jeff couldn't solve his own problems. So what I learned after this one final big book weekend was, one, I had to do a daily inventory. And two, I had to pray and meditate every day. And three, and most importantly, I had to help others, particularly through sponsorship. And as an aside, I'll say this. I have an inherent resistance to effort. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm not lazy, although you would think that's what I'm referring to. No, what it really means is that I've had some learning disabilities that I've had to deal with, and it's made harder for me to read and understand things, believe it or not, even as a lawyer. And so I have trouble learning new information. And obviously, I've overcome that, but it was hard for me to do certain things. But I realized I have to get over that, because in order for me to be spiritually fit, I have to do a written inventory every day of my feelings, my behaviors. I do use the Region 7 journal, which I think is a really helpful journal that is put out by my region in OA. I think there's a similar one on the West Coast that they sell. It's almost identical with the inventory page. So I use that every day to write about any resentments that come up, usually with my loved ones, any of the fears I have about, you know, health problems or other issues in my life, and any other negative feelings. I journal about them using that 5 minutes. I journal about them so that things don't fester. I also do prayer meditation. Prayer meditation is not easy for me. Pay attention is not easy, but I do it. Several years ago, I was at a OA retreat in Malvern, Pennsylvania, and I got, it's actually an AA meditation guide, a little booklet that has the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, the ninth step prayer. It's got some other readings from the big book, 10th step prayer, 11th step prayer. And I try and read them every day. And I don't just read them. It's not a homework assignment where I just read them and I can check off. I read the prayers. I meditated. No, I have to, in order to pay attention, I have to read these things in a certain way. And primarily it involves thinking about what these prayers stand for. What's the meaning behind the prayers? That keeps my focus. So that, for instance, when I read the third step prayer, I interpret it to be about giving up self-absorption and self-will, not wanting to get my way all the time, and not obsessing about my problems. And the punchline for that prayer to me is, it says it, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. That's the bottom line. Seventh step prayer is very similar in that I'm praying about having my higher power remove my defects. Why? To better do God's will. To be kinder to others, have better relationships, and so forth. So I read prayers every day, sometimes more quickly than other times, but it is important for me to do that. And then finally, and most importantly, if I'm not helping somebody else, if I'm not carrying the message, I'm probably going to be back in the food. And obviously that means I'm not spiritually fit. And I won't be able to go into a Wawa without thinking about picking up my binge foods. And so that's important to me, carrying the message, sponsoring others. I get a lot out of sponsoring people. I really do. I think I get more out of it than they do. It does keep me connected to programs. It reinforces the program for me when I'm reading the AA big book and the OA step book with somebody new. And it, you know, it's an OA, it's an AA saying, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. Not your car. I don't give away my car. You have to give away your program. And the last 10 years, I've sponsored a number of people. I've probably sponsored dozens of people, and I usually have about five or six people I'm sponsoring at a time. And you know, I'm retired, so I have the time. And I would have to have done it anyway if I wasn't retired. And I generally talk to one of my sponsees once a day. And that helps me a lot to do that. As a compulsive overthinker, I can tell you, overanalyzer, why that helps me, but it doesn't matter. It helps me to sponsor people and stay spiritually fit and abstinent by helping somebody else. It's certainly rewarding for me to help other people. We end up reading and discussing, you know, program stuff together. And I, you know, as you know, when you read something, you get more in, get more out of it each time. And so those are the basic things I do. The maintenance steps. I'm able to stay abstinent, not perfectly abstinent. You know, I don't expect perfection in my food plan and my eating, but I haven't gone back into relapse, and I'm coping with my life a lot better. And then I'm just going to say one final thing. Some of you out there know that I make in my retirement, I have as a hobby, I make and give away free wooden recovery craft items. I make God boxes with prayers on them. I make plaques with the big book readings, with the founders, keychains, small mirrors. I don't know. It keeps me busy. I like doing it too. I like the creative part about it. And I do. I just mail them, give them away. I even pay for the postage. That's just part of my OA service. And so I will say this. I'm saying this in front of a lot of people, so I don't know what's going to happen, but I will say it. Anybody out there who's living in the continental United States, not Canada, because it's expensive to ship stuff to Canada. I've learned that. I will gladly send you a free recovery craft item if you text me your name and address. Might not get to you in a week, but it will get to you eventually if as long as there's not that many people. And I think I'm done. Thanks for letting me share.